insights.
This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on India's rise as a major global investment hub. The participants are Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
India's position on the global investment map has strengthened remarkably in recent years, with tech giants like Microsoft and Amazon announcing billion-dollar investments. The country is increasingly seen as a strategic hub for innovation, manufacturing, and digital growth. Today, with our economic expert, Sharad Kohli, we will explore the factors driving this remarkable ascent, the impact of these investments on India's economy, and the road ahead for international investors. A warm welcome to Akashvani, Sharad.
Thank you so much, Rajesh, and greetings from me to the listeners of Akashvani.
Sharad, what are the key factors that have contributed to India becoming a preferred destination for massive investment inflows from global tech giants like Microsoft and Amazon?
What has happened in the last 11 years has been transformational, and the economic policies and the reforms done vis-a-vis the business environment in this country, vis-a-vis the economic policies which have been implemented, vis-a-vis the welfare schemes for people at large, I think has been the landmark. And if I bring forth some of the top changes which have motivated these investors to come to the country, I would say ease of doing business. And when you say ease of doing business, we basically mean laying down red carpet for them. So when they come and invest here, they don't run into trouble. We've seen the times when the investors used to complain about bureaucracy, complain about clearances, Inspector Raj, and so on. So we are living in an era where a lot of things are automatic. So on top, if you ask me, I would say ease of doing business. These investors coming and setting up huge facilities in India, large facilities in India, they cannot happen if doing business is a tough call. So that for me is the biggest takeaway. The second big takeaway, I think, is the digitalization of the country. We've got some of the cheapest internet in the country right now, with more than 100 crore users of internet. We've got world's largest middle class here. The size of our middle class now, including the new middle class, is double the size of the American population. We've got a huge market here. We've got such a diversified level of climate here in different parts of the country. We have the infrastructure in these hubs where these investments are being made. The infrastructure is very, very international. So the people who feel that this country lacks infrastructure, the effort made by the government over the last 11 years in developing the infrastructure has motivated these large companies to come and set up shops here, set up global capability centers, GCCs as they are called.
I'd like you to comment on the HR reforms, which is adding to the ease of doing business.
Absolutely. The labor codes, 29 scattered, confusing laws which were there before, being consolidated into four major labor codes. I think that has given a clarity to investors. As an investor, I would like to see when I go and work there and look at the kind of recruitment that these companies are looking at. The recent announcements made by Amazon and Microsoft combined together about $52.5 billion. I'm looking at a total job creation of about, I would say, anything from 1 million to 3 million people. Skilled labor force, shall I say. And these companies would also be, by the way, investing on training. So I think without a very, very streamlined labor code, without a very streamlined HR laws, it'll be impossible for these companies to look at this kind of and this volume of job creation. So I think the labor codes has definitely motivated, and they were in the pipeline for a long time. But both these large companies, the tech companies, which we are keeping in the background while we are discussing this, I think this must be on top of their list on why they want to go and set up shop in India.
So we talked about the policy reforms and initiatives by the Indian government, which has largely influenced the large-scale investment. Now, how are these investments reflective of the broader trends in India's economic and technological landscape?
Well, I think if we talk on the economic front, 8.2% GDP, all the high frequency indicators and the economic parameters, take for example the forex reserves, the PMI, which is called popularly known as the Purchase Managers Index, the tax collections on the direct tax front, indirect tax front. So all the economic indicators are pointing to the fact that India at this point of time is the fastest growing economy around the world, emerging economy around the world, and a large economy around the world. We are today the fifth largest economy on the verge of becoming the fourth largest. Now you tell me, why would, as an investor, I would not like to go and invest in a country which is doing great? There is political stability. Government is in a constant 24/7 mode of reforms. This is an unstoppable process. The country was in shackles for a very, very long time prior to this government taking over. This government came with a motto, with a clear-cut objective, that we have to transform the environment of doing business in this country. And this is what is happening. And a very important point, Rajesh, because a lot of people after these announcements made by Amazon and Microsoft about a total of $52.5 billion, as I said, a lot of people were feeling that probably India is the beneficiary. But not many people know that sometimes they say in Hindi, "Tali do haath se bachti hai," that this is a two-way process. They are benefiting maybe in a way more than what India is benefiting. This is no obligation that a company is doing. Fine, I mean, we are thankful that they are coming to India and they are setting up. We should express our gratitude and we should feel proud about it. But look at the benefits that these companies are getting in their own way. They are getting low-cost setup. They are getting India's highly skilled manpower. India is known for its prowess in IT sector. I think India has proved its mettle around the world in what IT sectors can do. And let's not forget that these companies back home in the US, these companies today, if they have seen innovations happening over all these years, there have been Indian minds behind that. So I think the mettle of Indian mind was proved within their country. And they felt as a handful of Indians who could transform our company to large tech giants, if we go right in their den, so I think magic can happen. So that's yes. What is happening.
And not to forget the ready-to-consume target audience.
Absolutely. We've got population of... So the same population, Rajesh, which once upon a time used to be a liability for us. We were trolled, we were taunted. A lot of things were said about India that you've got a population where you've got so many people in your country, you're so thickly populated, you lack resources, so many mouths to feed. Today, the same population is becoming an asset for us. We call that as demographic dividends. Sure. I think the demographic dividends have started paying up, and this is what is leading to this transformation.
So you talked about one of the reasons why they have come into India, or investors are coming into India, is the digital infrastructure. What about the Make in India initiative of the government?
That line of Make in India, you know, the logo of Make in India, has started roaring. And when these companies, they come here and they set up their shop, and they augment India's infrastructure, or they start using India's infrastructure. Well, in economics, we call it as a multiplier effect, that every single rupee spent on infrastructure, for example, one of these companies has probably decided as Hyderabad as the hub. Now, what? There's going to be an office building. There's going to be, if they do cloud services, if they do AI services, they set up AI data centers, you will need a lot of infrastructure. You will need electricity. You will need office space. You'll need people there. So I think every single rupee spent on infrastructure has an 8-time multiplier effect. Why I'm linking infrastructure to manufacturing? Because when you set up infrastructure, you stimulate the process of manufacturing, which goes behind creating that infrastructure. This has got a 360-degree benefit. It helps Make in India. It helps creating jobs. It helps boosting countries' GDP. It helps tax collections. It helps building India's repute as an AI and tech center around the world. So I think what was there with China once, I think India is the next best alternate, because China has created certain restrictions. You must be aware there are limitations in China on what you can do and what you cannot do. There have been news about government's interference, CCP's interference in some of the tech giants. So India provides you a very open environment. And why forget the language? These companies come from English-speaking countries. And I think our country, especially these metro cities, IT cities, I think they don't have a language problem. In China, you do face that language. You need to move around with a translator at all times. Absolutely. So I think it's a win-win situation, if you ask me, for these companies. So
you laid out a whole lot of benefits that will accrue to investors, including Microsoft and Amazon. Which sectors or regions within India are likely to benefit the most from these deals?
Well, I think if you talk of geography, I suppose your question emanates from keeping in mind geography. I think existing IT hubs would be the most preferred destinations, because what we have witnessed is that around those IT hubs, the skill upgradation, upskilling on IT has been there in sufficient quantum. So we're looking at Hyderabad, we're looking at Bengaluru, we're looking at Gurugram, we're looking at Jaipur now, we're looking at Chennai, we're looking at Chandigarh. So all the places where the KPOs and the BPOs and the IT infrastructure...
Pretty much pan India.
And I think the government of India is now not letting just these centers prosper on IT. We are witnessing a lot of new IT centers coming up in the times to come. So I won't be surprised if some arm or leg of these setups, these GCCs or cloud services centers or data centers, you might find in places which you've never thought probably an IT infrastructure can be set up, because the talent pool in India is humongous. I mean, the further you move away from the cities, one realizes that probably there is no talent pool, but you could be proved grossly wrong, because you have such talented people in these smaller tier 2, tier 3 cities that you'll be surprised. And you know the advantage there? The cost of running the whole facility keeps coming down. as you move away from these metropolitan centers, because the rentals go down, the cost of living goes down, which also curtails the salaries. You don't probably, if you're paying, let's say, 150,000 rupees to an IT professional in a metro city, you might end up getting the same person because the cost of living is low. You might end up getting in probably 75,000, 80,000 rupees. And who knows, he or she may be more talented as well. So I think we are looking at Pan India, and this government does believe in a balanced regional development. We just don't want a few places to be prospering out of this. I think the benefit is going to accrue to the entire country.
So you mentioned, Sharad, talent pool that we have within India. So how will these investments impact employment, skills development, and innovation ecosystem?
Tremendous, I would say. In fact, all the things that you need, you named just now, skill development, I think endless, because Microsoft, in its proposal, has already spoken about training the professionals, because there is a certain degree of training required. And I would say that the Indian talent pool is very much prepared. In fact, our IT talent is already upskilling. And I have spoken on a lot of platforms earlier that the way to circumvent the problems of AI, where people talk of losing jobs and so on and so forth, the best way to negotiate is to upskill. And IT pool in India is already in the process of upskilling. I think both Amazon and Microsoft, they must have already done their survey that yes, there is upskilling going on. So I don't think they will have to do a very major training program. They'll just have to do a bit of nudging here and there, and the Indian talent pool would be ready. So a talent pool, skill development, which goes along with that. And of course, when it comes to giving facilities to people who are working there, I think those facilities, when these international companies, they come, they believe in an ideal work environment. So you will see an ideal work environment. I mean, in a campus of one of these tech giants, you will find gyms, you will find entertainment centers. So I think they believe that if people work, they should work in an environment where they feel at home.
We talked about a lot of optimism over here. What are some of the challenges that foreign investors will face when entering or expanding within the Indian market?
I think we've seen, especially with regard to e-commerce, Rajesh, and here I must point out that for the people who are wondering that these investments are coming only for India, the answer is no. When you set up a GCC, which is a global capability center, whether it's for cloud services or for IT, for data services, data centers, you establish India as a base. So from here, you will find a large part of the world being serviced, first of all. As far as the challenges are concerned, I think e-commerce, we face challenges from the small businesses, if you remember, Rajesh. There were noises made that probably it is killing the Kirana shops and the small businesses. So there might be some resistance there as far as this. But I have a feeling that these capability centers would be servicing around the world and not necessarily only for India. So that is the first challenge. Then, of course, market dominance sometimes creates a bit of discomfort that these are large companies, they've got big money, and they tend to, you know, encapsulate within themselves a lot of other services which Indian small startups might be rendering. But I think those fears will eventually get removed, because it actually creates opportunities for a lot of small businesses, startups and MSMEs who would be able to set up their satellite businesses around these large centers. And then, of course, the infrastructure footprint that they create, that stands out. So the other infrastructure looks sometimes miniature. So you feel, oh, you know, they've got a big office, they've got big setup, whereas our setup is small. So that is also there. Then one more challenge which some of the people feel is that it might create potential inequalities. These companies then sometimes face resistance that you're too big. You know, we have the Competition Commission of India, you know, people knocking at the doors, somebody is trying to misuse. And we've seen some of these companies, Rajesh, in Western world, they have faced challenges and lawsuits because of having market dominance. In fact, in some of the parliaments in the European nations, we found the voices being raised and some lawsuits being filed. But I'm sure both Government of India and these companies are now mentally prepared to find solutions to these challenges and move out in a positive direction.
On that note, as India continues to build on this momentum, which Sharad just mentioned, it will be fascinating to see how these investments shape its future on the global stage. Thank you, Sharad.
My pleasure.
For sharing your valuable insights with us today. And thank you for being with Akashvani.
Pleasure. Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's rise as a major global investment hub. The participants were Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044. Insights.